Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you for your Sabbath, for your time of coming together, your time of coming apart, time of coming and hearing your word. Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, just come lead us, guide us, direct us, teach us, convict us, change us. Father, truly may your words be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. May it show us the way to walk, the way to live, the way to lift you up, Messiah, that you may draw all men unto you. Truly may we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. May we walk worthy of the calling that we've been called. May we see, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We're in Genesis chapter 40 as we continue looking at the story of Yosef. How the father gave him dreams, the father gave him hope for the future, the father told him, all your brother's sheaves are going to bow down to your sheave, the sun and the moon and the stars will even bow down to you. He went from having the dreams to thrown into a pit, to being sold into slavery, to being slandered and libeled and lied on, to being thrown into prison. Seemingly not the best resume for coming to power. To seeing your dreams fulfilled. Again, the Father tells us his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And we have been promised that he would work those things for good that happened to us. Benjamin, bring me my phone. That all things work together. It is much easier when you know the end of the story, to look back and see how the Father has orchestrated all of those events to literally put Joseph in the one place he needed to be to save his family and much of the known world at that time. And hopefully it will give you courage and us courage, because it's much easier at the end of our time to look back and see how the Father orchestrated us to be at such a time as this. I know in our own life we have looked several times when things seem to have been going well, and all of a sudden, a large change came that did not necessarily seem for the best, but that truly ended up getting us to the next stage of where we needed to be. I was in Texas with three small children, doing rather well as a plant manager for a company, making above average income. Very comfortable to the day I walked in and their son-in-law walked in and shook my hand and handed me a severance check and said, I think you've made it so easy I can run it. We struggled for some years, and then the Father had led us to Mississippi, and I had a full-time job and was preaching at a church, again thinking we were right in the middle of God's will. And within, I guess, about 2 weeks, I lost my full-time job, and the church asked if their old pastor could come back to be pastor. But that journey led us to where we are standing today. And again, looking back through the years, you can see how if those things would not have happened, it would not have shaken us, perhaps, from our comfort zone and got us to move. And that may be well for us to remember in the days ahead if things get even partially difficult like they may seem to be. It will be good for us to remember that only those things that can be shaken will be shaken. If we are rooted, if we are grounded, if we are grafted into the root, we shall remain. Anything that was not needs to be shaken off. The admonition is to make sure we are rooted and grounded, to make sure we are grafted in, to make sure that we have taken care of seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Genesis 40, after these events, it came to be that the cupbearer and the baker of the sovereign of Mitzrayim sinned against their master, the sovereign of Mitzrayim. And Pharaoh was wroth with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Yosef was a prisoner. The captain of the guard put Yosef in charge of them, and he served them. So they were in confinement for some time. Then the cupbearer and the baker of the sovereign of Mitzrayim, who were confined in prison, dreamed a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad, and he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in confinement of his master's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" They said to him, "We each have dreamed a dream, and there is no one to interpret it." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to Elohim? Relate them to me, please." So the chief cupbearer related his dream to Yosef and said to him, "See, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days Pharaoh is going to lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you shall put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former ruling when you were his cupbearer. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show loving commitment to me, and mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For truly I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done naught that they should put me into the dungeon." And the chief baker saw that their interpretation was good, the one from the cupbearer, and said to Yosef, "I also was in my dream and saw three white baskets were on my head. And the uppermost basket of all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." And Yosef answered, said, "This is an interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. And yet within 3 days, Pharaoh is going to lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree. And the bird shall eat your flesh from you. And on the third day, Pharaoh's birthday, it came to be that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief cupbearer to his post of cupbearer again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. And the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, what a story. Yah gave the interpretation to Joseph. The cupbearers obviously came true. The baker was so excited about the cupbearers, he thought, oh, my dream's going to be good too. His dream did not end up so well, but it did become true. Yet the cupbearer who saw both of them come true promptly forgot Joseph. The reason the scripture says, be not weary in well-doing. It is amazing how quickly people forget any and everything you've done for them and only remember the time you aggravated them, the time you did not do, the time they thought you didn't or shouldn't or couldn't or wouldn't or should have. There's a reason why the scripture tells us to be thankful in all things, to remember. It's the reason we have feast days to look back, to see all of the goodness that God has done for us, because it is easy to forget all he has brought us through, to forget the many blessings. Can remember a time or two in our life where things got tougher and we were bemoaning our state and how the things were, and then just began to thank God for the things he had done. And we were on a trip, and literally for 45, 50 minutes straight, we just began to remember all the things God had done for us. And it's amazing how, though nothing had changed at all in our situation, we were changed. All of a sudden, you no longer have your eyes on the circumstances, on the waves, on the things that are around you, but you begin to look at the one who put you there, who brought you there, who has kept you all of the way. It's rather easy for us because we can glance most any time around our table or even if we're in the vehicle, because Stacy was told she'd never have children. Not possible. But the great physician said it is possible. She was told there's no way her body could carry a child to term. So she decided, good, she'd just carry half-grown children to term. So she had a 10-pound, 7-ounce, a 10-pound, 4-ounce, an 11-pound, 4-ounce, 11-pound, 7-ounce. She just had toddlers. Because God is literally able to do what seems with man impossible. Not just with our children. We've seen him provide over and over. We've seen him in times when we have had plenty provide and in times when we've had none provide. As long as you realize he is your provider, it doesn't matter whether it was times when I made a lot and money was in the bank on Friday morning. Or if it's time when literally we wondered if the lights would be cut off that day. He has always come through. But it matters greatly how we remember, how we look, how we feel, how we function. When we decide, when we depend, when we look at. Even with all the blessings we have had, it is easy to forget that children are a blessing from the Lord. When at times they don't seem to be a blessing. It's easy to forget that your brother, that your sister are doing the will of the Father, and they're not just your physical, but all your soul, your spiritual brother and sister, and instead to think they're the antagonist. It's easy to forget that at times, though he has the peace that passes all understanding, we choose not to dwell in it. So yes, we still have much as our household to learn, to walk, to live, to stand. But that's why he sends us tests. So we can practice, so that we can fail and realize and repent. And hopefully not fail next time. Hopefully repent quicker. Hopefully not step out. Because the days ahead that misstep may be much more costly. Just want to encourage us to continue in doing well, continue in the things we know, continue even though it seems the rest of the world is going to naught. Continue even though it seems that another election was stolen and what was predicted did not come. Does that surprise us that corrupt men would act corruptly? Continue, even though we will trade for a spoilt brat youngster who does drugs and hates our country. But we won't stand for a veteran, for a Marine, for a school teacher who literally, the school teacher, is in for the exact same thing. But neither of those were high profile enough. Neither of those are politically correct enough. Neither of those garnered attention. When we continue to see our country calling good evil and evil good, it should not make us cower. It should not make us quake. We should not fear. We should lift up our eyes because we know where our help comes from. But it should make us wary. It should make us aware of what has happened time and time again when Israel became haughty in her heart, when she turned from Elohim, her creator, and when she chose abominations over worship.
But after sent fire upon the walls of Zoar, it shall consume its palaces. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four did not turn it back, because he pursued his brother with the sword, and cast off all compassion, and his displeasure tore incessantly, and he kept his wrath forever. But I shall send fire by Timon, and it shall consume the palaces of Bozrah. Thus says Yah, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four did not turn it back, because they ripped open the pregnant women in Gilead to enlarge their border. So I shall kindle a fire upon the walls of Rabbah, and it shall consume its palaces with a shout in the day of battle, with a storm in the day of the whirlwind, and their sovereign shall go into exile, he and his heads together, said Yah. This is Yah, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four I do not turn it back, because he burned the bones of the sovereign of Edom to lime. But I shall send fire upon Moab, and it shall consume the palaces of Kiriath. And Moab shall die amid an uproar with a cry and the voice of a shofar. I shall cut off the judge from its midst and kill all of its heads with him, says Yah. Thus is Yah, for three transgressions of Yehuda, and for four I do not turn it back, because they have rejected the Torah of Yah, did not guard his laws, and their lies, after which their fathers walked, led them astray. But I shall send fire upon Yehuda, and it shall consume the palace of Jerusalem. Thus says Yah, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four did not turn it back, because they sell the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals, who crush the heads of the poor ones in the dust of the earth, and turn aside the way of the meek, and the man and his father go into the same girl to defile my set apart name. They lie down by every slaughter place on garments taken in pledge, and in the house of their mighty ones they drink the wine of those who have been fined. Yet I destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedar. He was as strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruits from above and his roots from beneath. And I brought you up from the land of Mitzrayim and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of Amorite. And I raised up some of your sons as prophets, some of you young men as Nazarites. Not so, O you children of Israel, declares Yah. But you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. See, I am weighed down by you as a wagon is weighed down when filled with sheaves. In a place to flee shall perish from the swift, and the strong will not fortify his power, and the mighty not save his life. He who handles the bow not stand, and the swift of foot not save. Nor he who rides a horse save his life, and the one potent of his heart among the mighty. Leave naked in that day, declares Yah. Hear this word that Yah has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the entire clan which I brought up from the land of Mitzrayim, saying, you alone have I known of all the clans of the earth. Therefore I punish you for all your crookedness. Do we see any correspondence to today? Do we see how even this week our government came out because Palestinian militants attacked Israel and Israel responded, and some were killed? But yet, Israel referred to the Human Rights Council. We see again this week how we will trade a drug dealer and send back a arms dealer in the midst of a conflict. Where we say we stand with Ukraine, but we send back the one guy that might turn the tide of the war against Ukraine. We literally have an election that many say was decided because the courts dare say don't rip open the womb of women. We have a group who's saying it is my right. They call it women's health. Men would go in and abort a baby. Those statistics, their own statistics, will tell you that a woman who has an abortion has a higher rate of miscarriage, a higher rate of cervical cancer, a higher rate of ovarian cancer, a higher rate of breast cancer from just having an abortion. How is that women's health? The Susan B. Komen Foundation, whose very pledge is to rid the world of breast cancer, donates to Planned Parenthood, who does more to put women at risk for breast cancer than any other organization. And we literally live with a church that says, if you try to follow Torah, you crucify Christ afresh. Can we not see us through all and many of these nations? And yet we say, God bless America, God cannot judge America. If God cannot judge America because of what Jesus did, then how is there the great white throne judgment in the end? How do we all pass under the rod if Jesus' death took away all judgment? Why do we have consequences for anything if all judgment's been dealt with? Oh, we desire mercy more than judgment. So if someone breaks in your house and steals everything you have, you're just going to say mercy? Do you lock your doors? Why don't you give them mercy? Do we expect to be safe in our own houses? Why do you not give them mercy? Or is that another word that has been co-opted, that has been changed, that has been chanted because we do not want responsibility? We do not want to grow up. We do not want to. We sing mercy triumphs over judgment, and yes, it did, and that I do not have to die in my sin. I do not have to pay the eternal price because Yeshua HaMashiach came and paid that price, but because he paid that price, because I have been purchased with so great a price, how much more will judgment come if I do not accept that mercy? If I do not apply that mercy, if I do not walk worthy of the calling which I have been called. Did not Messiah himself give the story of the one who owed a little, the one who owed a lot, the one who owed much asked mercy for the king. The king gave him mercy. He went to the one who owed him a little and threw him in jail and said, you won't come out till you pay me out. And the king heard and said, did I not forgive you much? Yet you did not forgive little, so he'll be thrown in until every penny is paid. How can I come to the knowledge that he died for my sin and yet let sin abound so he can pay more and more? And say that is love. And how can I read over and over how Israel, the apple of his eye, the people who he chose, the people who he brought forth with a great and mighty hand, yet he said, because of your transgression, and not think he will do it to us. Time we repent, and it's time we wake up, and it's time we put off the things that so easily beset us and walk worthy. Second Corinthians. Do I say this as a man, or does not the Torah say the same too? For it has been written in the Torah of Moshe, which is about a Muslim ox while it treads out the grain. It is about oxen, Elohim. Is it about oxen, Elohim is concerned? Or does he say it because of us all? For this has been written because of us, for he who plows.
Where are you reading from?
Oh, you know what? I'm in 1 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians. Why don't we go ahead and read 1 Corinthians, then we'll go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. I say this is a man, or does not the Torah say the same too? Where it has been written in the Torah of Moshe, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it about oxen Elohim is concerned, or does he say it because of us all? For it is written because of us, that he who plows shall plow in expectation, and the thresher in expectation of sharing. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, it is good. Is it too much that we reap material from you? If others share authority over you, should not rather we? We have not used this authority, but we put up with all, lest we hinder the good news of Messiah. Do you not know that those serving the set-apart place eat from the set-apart place, and those attending at the slaughter place have their share of the offerings with the slaughter place? So also the master instituted that those announcing the good news should live from the good news. Again, the Torah is there for us to apply. Here Paul stated how you should not muzzle an ox. But that wasn't just because Peter cared about oxes way back then. It was a spiritual principle. You reap, you sow. You work, you take a share. It's part again of us preparing. Are we sowing these spiritual things? Are we doing these spiritual things? The physical things, the emotional things to get ready. Do we have an expectation? Have we put aside? Have we laid up? Where are our treasures? I know not everyone is a worker in the ministry, is just talking here, but we all are partakers in the kingdom if we are working in the kingdom. Does the Messiah say, if you're faithful over little, I'll make you ruler over much? And he says, the little foxes spoil the vines. It is those everyday tests that we face. Am I getting along with my wife? Am I getting along with my house? Are my children getting along with each other? Am I being the father, the husband, the worker, the friend that I should be? Am I lifting up Messiah? Am I letting his light shine? Do people see a difference in me? Am I continually having to ask their forgiveness? Am I continually having to expect others to put up with my shortcomings because they love me, because they forgive me, because when are we going to be the ones to rescue the perishing? When are we going to be the ones to be his hands, his feet, his eyes, his heart? Let's flip to 2 Corinthians. We'll all see what it says at the same time. Oh, Judge, I totally missed it. We'll start in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 6. Again, yeah, seems to be some of the same. And this, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows on blessing shall also reap on blessing. Let each one give as he proposes, as he purposes in his heart, not of grief or of necessity, for Elohim loves a joyous giver. Elohim is able to make all favor overflow toward you, that you always, having all you need in every way, having plenty for every good work. And then it has been written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and increase the seed you have sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in every way for all simplicity, which works out thanksgiving to Elohim through us. Because the rendering of this service not only supplies the need of the set apart ones, but also is overflowing through many thanksgivings to Elohim. Through the proof of this service, they esteem Elohim on the submission of your confession to the good news of Messiah, and generosity in sharing with them all and all men. Again, does he make a difference in our life? Do we show it through our finances, through our time, through our love for others? Do we give out of necessity, oh, this is something I have to do, or do we give out of blessing, realizing this is something I get to do? Where is my treasure? Where is my heart? I tell you, I have seen God provide for us over and over and over. And I truly believe because we have always tried to give, not because we had to, not just because he commanded, but because we loved him. We wanted to give. We wanted to be a part of his kingdom and whatever we could do. Whether it was food we gave to others, whether it was first fruits of what we had grown, whether it was money to places we worked, time that we could volunteer. We have always tried to see what could we do. But guys, look at what he's done for us. Never knowing what will touch another, what it might mean to others just to give a little. Yeah, we went around and put quarters in the dryer and a laundromat before. Didn't ask them if they needed, just went in, and everybody who was getting ready to do stuff, we'd just go put quarters in the machine that they were loading up. God bless you and leave. And at one laundromat, there was a man that was dressed sort of like a biker guy, had some kind of cut-off blue jean jacket with some patches and stuff on the back, and we went and he had one machine, so we didn't put 75 cents for him, because he already had one machine, and told him to bless him and left. There were three or four others in the laundromat, too. He wasn't the only one. Went back out and got in the car and prayed and said, "Thank you, Father, and where do you want us to go next?" And bless the people. And about that time, he came out of the laundromat, went around to the side by his bike, and laid on his bike and cried. Big man, way larger than me, cried because somebody gave him 75 cents. How little does it take to change a person? How little of our time, our effort, if we go in his name, in his will, if we have a heart of a child just wanting to bless, if we will live our life and do the things he says to do. Even more so in the days ahead as times are darker and darker. May we let our light shine. May we be that place, that on the hill, that those who are in need will know where they can run to. And that would be to Yeshua HaMashiach. That we might let them say, because we want to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth. Father, thank you that you have given to us, that you have enabled us, and thank you that you commanded us, because it is life, it is blessing, it is righteousness. It's another chance for us to see your kingdom come, your will be done. Another chance to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. That you may add all things unto us, that we may truly have seed to sow. Father, let us not fret in these days ahead, but let us stand firm, knowing that you are able. Father, do shake everything that is not of you from us, that there be nothing the enemy can come to, that there will be no lack in the days ahead, that there will be nothing in me that will falter, that will fail. But only you, Yeshua HaMashiach, you, Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, would burn through me, live through me, speak, give me the words to say in that moment, that they may see you, Messiah. That they may find your kingdom. They may glorify our Father who art in heaven. Help us every day as we walk, that we may Shema, we may hear. Shema.